I love the final upload download where he's talking about upload a child with no mother, a child with no father. I think that really kind of sums up the entire theme of the song. I don't really like the whole dissing evolution because I'm a big supporter of evolution. And his take on it is a bit wrong, really. He says, you see a rock on the shore and you say it's already there. Well, that's not what evolution says at all. There's cause and effect, and that's how things get there.
Welcome to the Peach and Black Podcast, your central place to hear unofficial news and intelligent discussion on all things happening in the Prince world. Featuring the hosts, MC.
He's going for gold on this track.
The Captain.
If anyone knows me, I love 80s classic rubbish pop.
Player.
It's kind of interesting where he was at that point in any flight.
OJ.
The word I've got here circled is sap. It's just sappy.
And other special guests.
Oh, I love it.
We are here. Where are you? Welcome back to the Peach and Black Podcast. We are here. Where are you, listeners? Hopefully listening to us. Back again with another show with the panel, introducing to you from left to right, Player.
Yep.
Captain.
Why?
And Mr. Toe Jam.
I'm here. Hello.
All right. We're all back again for another week, another show. Another funky episode coming to you from the land down under, located near the Sydney Opera House, where we're hoping our favourite artist might be doing some classical inspired shows at some point in the future.
Just like a little Oldfield's gonna play there?
Plug there. So anyway, welcome back. Alright, we got a few things to talk about, just some random bits and pieces, and we'll go straight into it. Something that we haven't discussed so far is I don't even know if you could call it a single, but a sports anthem? Is that fair? Purple and Gold.
Purple and Mold.
Purple and Gold, the track. We haven't really talked about it. I don't have too much to say about this song, other than I think that it's not to be taken too seriously. It's not meant to be taken too seriously, and it was just kind of, I assume, written as a quote unquote sports anthem. I don't really like the song that much. I don't know what your thoughts are, everyone.
Go, Turgeon.
And the silence is deafening.
Well, I mean, what can you say about it? It's just a sports anthem attempted. And it's, you know, people are out there slamming it, and it's like, well, it's just a silly little sports anthem. What's there to slam about?
It's not as if it's opening the new album or anything.
That's right, well, we hope not, so.
Hint, hint.
But, yeah, you know, there's some nice little bits in there, like arrangement-wise with the guitar, and you know, but it's just so cheesy, it's just hard to take seriously.
Yeah.
But you know, Sheila E. There was obviously something that Sheila E. Just I'm not an expert on American football, but her team obviously beat the Vikings, and then she posted a video dressed as Prince.
That was hilarious.
That was hilarious. So like, you know, obviously this whole thing's just a bit of a fun joke between, you know, his crew, so fair enough, why not?
Yeah, I think it's a complete joke as well, and it's just, it's really funny sometimes reading or hearing people's response. Like, people really take it to heart, you know, and they're like, yeah. Oh, this is terrible, this is the worst thing I've ever heard, and all this kind of, it's just, it's ridiculous, you know.
I love it how you did that in an American accent too.
Just, you know, everyone just take, chill out, have a break.
But I think where people sort of got a bit upset by it was it was promoted as a fight song. So you think like the song's pretty like an aggressive song or a rocking song or something pretty upbeat, and then it comes out with this little fancy little thing. I don't know. It's a cool song. Like Tiger Jen said, there's moments in there that has quite interesting arrangements in it. But as a whole, it just doesn't really do anything.
It's the it's the wedding feast of this decade.
Yeah. Yeah, so and really, I mean, it's I don't know that we'll ever hear from it again. You know, it's probably just one of those things that was put, it's like Cyber Single or something, you know, it's put out and then forgotten about. Just a little tiddlywink.
But I love the way everyone's saying, oh, because they obviously lost the next match, apparently.
Yeah.
Everyone's, oh, he jinxed them. So maybe he did.
Who knows? So, yeah, that's happy to put purple and gold aside.
I haven't told you how great it is yet.
Okay, go.
It's not that
obviously
great.
Obviously, you're joking.
It's not that great.
Look, this is from the man who brought us the morning after more than we colonized mine, so anything could come out of your mouth.
Captain, raise every voice and let it be known.
It's
how
just
you feel
a
about
song.
The purple and gold.
It's not that bad.
Here we go.
No, for what it is. It's an anthem thing. I'm just gonna repeat what everyone else said. But what player said was my main problem with this song, but it's not with the song, it's with the way it was promoted, was a fight song, when it's so obviously not a fight song.
Mm.
How could anyone listen to that and go, oh, that's a fight song? I mean, I won't say what I was going to say, but you must have rocks in your head, to put it politely.
That's all right. You don't need to put it politely. You're on the Peach and Black podcast.
It
doesn't matter.
I haven't listened to it since it came out. I just listened to it just before this show. And I'll just repeat Toe Jam. It's got some nice little guitar and earth stuff in it, but I won't listen to it much, if ever again. But yeah, it's what it is. And, you know, it's not the lead single off the next album. We hope. So... So fine, I mean, you don't have to just slam it to hell and just say it's the biggest load of crap he's ever done, because I could list five songs worse than that.
Hmm.
Not a problem.
I was reading online, though, a lot of fans were saying this is the last straw, like, they sort of held with him, like, all these years, and then just going, nah, after this is it, like, they're just going into
they sat through their first year of LotusFlower.com. And then this track was just a slap in the face.
Yeah, it was just that broke the camel's back. It's
well, that's fine. That's just a few more people less in the queue when we line up for tickets when he tours Down Under in Australia again. That's fine. I'm happy with that.
The Opera House, yeah.
Exactly. Oh, God, don't get me. just quickly on the Opera House again, Prince at the Opera House, wow. But also, Player, when we did the review, you mentioned that purple plush carpet.
Yes.
And I was there the other week. Actually, I was there very recently. I saw the Wayne Shorter Quartet perform an unreal set, just unbelievable. And I just quickly got to give a shout-out to Brian Blay, John Patitucci, and Danilo Perez, which are the other three guys that played with him, and obviously Wayne Shorter. An amazing night and just a world-class, a transcendental freeform jazz. Unbelievable. But... before the gig, I went to the back and I saw that purple plush, and I actually took a photo of it. I might put it up one day, maybe as an inspiration to Prince and his band members when they see it. It really is just, you know,
regal.
Yeah, it's regal. Yeah. It's
Prince-esque.
It's definitely definitely purple plush with a capital P, and it's awesome. I was walking down those steps. And I was thinking, oh man, wow, that would be crazy.
Just imagine
playing at such a and it's not a huge place, so everyone would have a great view. Orchestra, symphony. I wish Michael Kamen was still alive and he could conduct the whole thing. That'd be unbelievable. But anyway, going on to are we finished Purple and Gold? I'll take it off everyone's hands and. And phase into segue into cause and effect.
And I'll just say to two people on Twitter, Raffy Animates and Charles Lazarus, they both asked, when are we going to discuss cause and effect? The answer is right now.
Perfect. All right. We've answered some questions.
And that's it. We've done the questions now. That's it.
Yeah, that was the question and answer part. Our new segment on the Peach and Blake podcast. Now that that's out of the way, let's talk about the song that was released. It was released for us in Australia, it was obviously like as a stream, an online stream, and in the US, or if you're in Minneapolis, it would be on your radio station, on your local dial.
Yeah, it was like 20 to 1 in the morning in Australia.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy.
And I think it's just about to have the European premiere as well, or that might have just passed, I don't know.
Okay. Let's get straight into it and just talk about the song, our thoughts and comments that people have and everything. Anyone passionate enough about this track and the sounds, etc., that they want to just take it off my hands?
Go, Captain.
No, I'm not first.
Okay, well, no one wants to take it off my hands, so I'll start off the cause and effect review. What do I say? When I first heard it, I was surprised. That's the main thing that comes to mind. I didn't know what to expect, so obviously I was surprised, you know, regardless of what it was going to be and what it would sound like. And I really had to listen to it more than once. I just killed it to death. I've played this song, I don't know how many times, on Lotus Flower, streaming it on Lotus Flower once it was put up, for days afterwards. I was just playing it over and over and over again.
Well, you may as well get your money's worth.
If you didn't get a t-shirt, might as well get a song.
Yeah, I know. I'm still far off from that, but the thing is that I haven't figured out what it was about the song or what it is about me that made me play that song so many times. And I'm thinking like I've probably listened to that song over 50 times. That's
like 48 times more than me.
Well, it's probably more times than I've listened to some songs on Lotus Flower MPLS Sound, and I rate those albums extremely highly. They're some of the greatest albums that he's released in a long, long time, and just phenomenal. But I don't know what it was. I just don't know what it was.
Had to play it more to get into it, or you play it more because every time you listen to it, you like it more?
Correct. I haven't gotten to the bottom of it, so I won't spend the whole show talking about it, but it's just that I haven't... Just making the point that I don't know why I kept listening to it, but it is true that the more I listened to it, the more I enjoyed it, and the more I found within the song that I liked. And basically, my summary of the song is this. To me, it's a mix between... I don't want to reference old songs, so I won't, but a mix between some of the more up-tempo, kind of psychedelic, late 80s material, and some of the more gutsy rock and roll of the mid-90s, with a sophistication and arrangements that are very much Prince in the now. And I put those three elements together, and I really like the song. I'm quite a big fan of it, and you know, I put my headphones in, I logged into Lotus Flower, and I just kept listening to it, doing stuff in the background, and there's some great stuff happening there. I mean, the opening, it's so powerful, almost power chords, you know, like, the drumming's really, really powerful as well, and we'll go into this later, but I believe it's Chris Coleman on drums. The verses are kind of cool, they're up-tempo, they're a bit rockabilly, very bouncy. The lyrics, I find them interesting. I've heard from some people that don't really haven't found them particularly inspiring. I actually find them quite resounding in some cases, and more introspective and less preachy than what maybe other people, you know, have thought they are. And the guitar playing's superb. And I just find that the tempo changes are really, really cool. The rhythm throughout the song is awesome. Okay, I'll reference an old song. It's the Play in the Sunshine of
2010.
It's almost that, you know, they're very different songs, but I don't know. There's a similarity there. So I'll hand it over to everyone else. Anyone got their hands up in the air for this?
I'll take it.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of agree with a lot of things you're saying. I kind of had the same thing where the first time I heard it, I thought, yeah, it's pretty cool. And then I just got to listen to it more and more. And then it really just sort of hit me. I'm like, man, this is a really cool song. And I think I've probably overplayed it a bit now because I'm kind of over it now, I think. But, yeah, that I do agree. It's a really great song. I wouldn't say it's, like, completely first rate, but it's very good. Some songs I've got listed here that it reminds me of. Glass Cutter. It sounds similar to Glass Cutter to me. Cyber Single as well. Rock and Roll is Alive. Again, that sort of up-tempo rock and then lots of changes kind of thing. And also the rock section from The Last December.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Reminds me of that also. Towards the end where it kind of goes into a more, like, you know, Arabic rock kind of thing. But, yeah, I really like all the different sections. There's that section in the middle where it kind of goes a bit, that little happy section, which sounds to me like it sort of evolved from the way they used to do the intro to Come Together live. You know, it sort of starts all happy and then they sort of turned it into Come Together.
Yeah.
Which you can see on Lotus Flower, the video there. The thing that I think that most impressed me when probably the fourth or fifth time I listened to it and I heard the drums, and suddenly I heard the drums like beyond just, it suddenly hit me, man, this is definitely not Prince playing these drums, because just amazing drums. And I was thinking, you know, it could be Blackwell, but it just sounds a bit different to Blackwell. It sounds like a different kit. There's a lot more cymbals, a lot more really tiny rim shot kind of stuff. Just beautiful. And then there's that fill at 3:53. It's like a 10-second fill. It goes over two bars, and it's just blows your mind completely. And I was like, man, whoever this drummer is, that's pretty amazing. And then, so there's some pretty solid rumors out there now that it is Chris Coleman. And he definitely looks the goods, in my opinion. Guitar playing awesome, as always. I kind of agree with you, the lyrics. I think the lyrics are quite interesting. A very solid track. Very good solid track. And, you know, if this was on an album, I'd be more than happy with it. But I wouldn't rate it as high as Lotus Flower material, personally. But, yeah, it's very good.
So while we've got Toe Jam here, I'm sure in a previous podcast talking about something on Lotus Flower, you talked about cause and effect.
I did.
We need to go back and find that.
Yeah, go for it.
I need to hear what it is. I just remember you saying something about cause and effect.
It was during the Colonized Mind review.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
I think it was when Toe Jam was talking about the verses and the upload download kind of structure of that song.
Well, what can I say? I mean, like, if he wants to steal from me, that's fine. No, that's
Prince
just
better watch out, Toe Jam. You should sue him. You should sue him. That's what you should do. Yeah, that's copyright. He stole it.
No, if it was a threat on the org, you would be disgustingly steal.
Oh,
disgustingly.
Man. Yeah. So, okay, player, have you got anything on this?
I agree with you two guys. It is quite a good song. I do agree it's a bit like playing the stuff Sunshine of 2010, but you know how the version on Son of the Times is radically different to the Son of the Times movie version?
Yeah.
I think this song has the same sort of element. If he took it live, he could kick it up a few notches. And it'd be even more powerful, because there is those little happy parts and stuff that kind of make it Prince light.
Yeah.
I don't like the haze. I don't like the haze. To me, it sounds like
Morris?
The
what's wrong with Morris?
No. Not Mr. Haze, but the little haze all through the...
Oh.
It sounds like the But, yeah, it sort of sounds more like a Planet Earth era track than a Lotus track.
Yeah, I can hear that.
Yeah, so, definitely.
So I don't know if this was something that's worked on from that era. Obviously, the intro is from Montreux.
Wow, I forgot to mention that.
Yeah.
Can't believe it.
But, yeah, like, there's a lot of people I've seen on the, I was reading on the net that they don't really like this song and they've had enough and all this.
I'm amazed at how much negativity there is about this.
I can't believe how much negativity there is about a song that is this good. It's ridiculous.
About a song that you didn't pay a cent for.
That's right.
Yeah.
And like, there's people out there
some people
hearing it. Oh, you know, this, you know, this isn't as good as America. Well, it's like, well,
that's because it's not.
That's not America. It's something else.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it is quite good, but I also think that it does have a lot more potential too. So
maybe in a live setting.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So I agree with Toe Jam. It's not like the greatest thing I've ever heard from him, but it's not. Certainly not the worst that all these people saying they're going to leave Prince behind in droves. So
it doesn't make sense, does it?
No.
I just had a quick thought. If those imagine that the strings in the last minute and a half were actually like live strings played by the Sydney Symphony Orchestra
at the Opera House in Australia. Oh.
That'd be quite cool. The intro. I am here, where are you? Ha ha ha. that's Montreux. That's live at Montreux, and I'm saying that because I was there. I was there in the first show, and I was there at the second show, and right after When I Lay My Hands on You, he went into Stratus, and that was kind of the segue into that. So that's definitely Montreux. And now I'm thinking to myself, those Montreux gigs were in July 2009, right? This song comes out in the first quarter of 2010. He's obviously taken that sample from the Montreux DVD. Exactly. Like, he's taken the sample from the Montreux DVD, from the upcoming Montreux release.
Sitting on his coffee table.
That's amazing. Like, to me, we're obviously joking, but how cool would that be? Second of all, even if there's no DVD release... or whatever, he's obviously gone back and taken the sample from the audio or the recording of those concerts. So it's just interesting that he's revisiting the Montreux shows in some way. And I, for one, have just still got my fingers crossed that maybe he views that footage or listens to that amazing material and is inspired enough to make something more of it, you know, and allow people... Don't just put a few more clips on your website or online or whatever, but, you know, use the production staff that Montreux have, that Igor Rock Entertainment have. Create a great package and...
release it.
And release it, exactly. And just, you know, put it out there for the world to see and stack it up against all the other Live at Montreux releases and all the other concert DVD releases. And get back into this to the shops, and you know, and people, I'm telling you that not only would it sell, but not only Prince fans, but people that are even vaguely curious at Prince the artist and as a live performer, etc., would pick this up, and it would be, I just think it'd be great. It'd really be, from a musical point of view, the material is not all, you know, popular classic hits. Kind of, you know, radio, you know, fit for radio play, which is also great because it would expose people to the other side of Prince and his music and his art. So, yeah, I hope that's exactly what happened. So, I hope he's still listening to the Montreux shows, and I hope he's still doing post production 8 or 9 months later. And that's all I've got to say about that.
I think it's more likely it's on his coffee table. You shall never listen to this. Only me,
Captain. I am here. Where are you?
Dropped off.
Mystified silence.
That's
here.
Classic.
I'm here. You're
here? All right, good.
I was just pausing for comedic effect.
Okay.
As you do.
Yep.
This song is too rocky and not enough funky. That's all I've got to say.
Well, it's not a funk track.
Exactly. It's not as good as America, I'll say that much.
Ooh.
I want to know who said that. That's hilarious.
Is it just a song?
I don't think I've listened to it enough to get it. I've listened to it 2, maybe 3 times.
That's not enough.
It just seems all over the place.
Yeah, when I first heard it...
I've listened to a lot of stuff which is all over the place, but still somehow flows, but this doesn't for me. But I do need to listen to it a bit more. But, you know, hey, it was free. I didn't pay for it. So I'm not complaining. And there's a backwards message in there somewhere.
Mm. Oh, that's so cool. That's awesome. I don't even know what it means, but it sounds awesome.
What was it? I knew it, but I can't remember. Maybe like contracts. Contracts only make you smaller or something.
Is that it? Is that official now?
He's such a comedian.
Well, I did it in Audacity, and that's what it came up.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
It's interesting.
If it's Chris Coleman on the drums, that... I haven't decided if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Because he's a great drummer, but how is he going to fit in into a Prince band? I haven't figured that out yet.
Well, it's right in front of you. Listen to Cause and Effect, there's your answer.
Yeah. But is that a Prince band, or is that just a Prince track with a drummer?
Yeah, I don't know. Let's just move away from the drums for a second. Who do you think's playing bass? If it's not Prince.
Larry.
No.
I think it's Prince on the bass. There's not much bass in there, actually. It's pretty bass light.
No calls for Tal Wilkenfeld.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'd love her to be on there.
We can only
she was jamming at Paisley, so I've heard.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I just don't know. About this song. I can't say it's good or it's bad. I just don't get it yet.
When it first came on, all of us were online, and I said to you guys straight up, I said, I can't review this after one listen. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't like digest it all in one go. You have to like give it
specifically
like
this song.
Yeah, you have to give it two or three goes to sort of appreciate it for what it is. If you listen to it once and write it off, then there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
I didn't write it off. I just listened to it and I thought, I don't get that. Then I listened to it again. I listened to it again the next day, and I listened to it just before this show, and I still don't get it.
Give it a few more.
It's pretty explosive. Like, those first few chords, they're just really explosive, I think.
The vibe I get from it is it's not... It's as to quote somewhere I read, it's Prince on autopilot.
But the thing is that, like, the first 10 or 15 seconds, they're just so Gold Experience-esque to me. It's just, like, big drums, big chords, almost Endorphin Machine-like. Those first... That's just pure rock. That's the thing that sucked me in when I started listening to it.
As much as I like the Gold Experience, I don't get that vibe from it.
Yeah.
I just get this feeling that it's... I don't know, he just chucked out another track just for something to do. I don't know.
Well, it's interesting, why was it released? It doesn't really seem to be tagged into any project as of yet.
Maybe it was to try and please the Lotus Flower subscribers.
But it wasn't...
in the last week of their year?
On a radio broadcast first.
Yeah.
Doesn't make that, but doesn't make it...
Well, you know, Lotus Flowers always got stuff first. Remember all those videos from Montreux? You know where we got them first?
Miss Shelby.
Shelby, exactly.
Shelby, come back on the show. Where you been?
What are you doing? You got any more secret videos? Come on.
Maybe a secret DVD produced by Eagle Rock Entertainment?
She hasn't put a video up for a while. Maybe something big is coming. Or
maybe
not.
She can wear our peach and black t-shirt while hosting it too.
Yeah, we sent you a t-shirt, Shelby. Come on, you said you're going to wear it in the next video, and then you never made another video.
When's the next video? Do you have any questions from any of our...
Well, I'll just find it. This is
take your time.
I'll just pad and talk and waste time. It's from Richard L, RL81 on the forum.
Richard Littler.
His question is, Richard Littler, that's the one. Where do we think Prince's career is heading over the next 5 to 10 years, and what would you like to happen over the next decade?
Wow, as a fan?
Yes.
Well, that's an interesting question from Richard L. Anyone want to take that?
I could quickly say, Prince is going to do what Prince is going to do, and we could just sit back and whinge about it, which is what we do.
But that's pretty much right. He'll do what he wants to do.
Yeah, but I guess the question was, what do you want?
What do we think?
I mean, look, we don't... Usually we talk about the music. Sometimes we talk about, you know, how cool would it be for this or for that, but really it's more about the music. But, you know, Richard L. from Cyberspace is asking the Peach and Black podcast where we think Prince's career is going, or is heading, or will end up within the next 5 or 10 years, and what would we like to see? Yes, exactly. So,
but in brackets, he does say, you know, where do you think Prince's career? And then in brackets, musically, release avenues, like, is he going to do internet stuff? Is he going to do back to a label?
Mm.
And concerts? Is he going to do residencies? Is he going to tour again?
Millions
of things in that question.
Yeah. So
I think residencies is his, or even just one-off shows like he's been doing, like Montreux and stuff. But I think he's much more likely to do a residency than a tour of, you know, 10 cities or whatever, that, like he used to do.
Mm.
Yeah, I think the days of, you know, an album a year, a tour a year, might be pushing it a bit. I think what we'll get is maybe an album every second year and a tour every second year. Well, I don't expect him to do really massive extensive tours like he used to. I think the kind of things that he did in 2009, like sort of playing a few shows in Montreux, a few shows in Monaco, a few shows in Paris, I think that's kind of more the norm of what we're going to see.
Mm.
And that's, you know, that's, he's in his 50s now, so if he does more, that'd be awesome. But, you know, if you're expecting more, I think you'll be disappointed.
Age is just a number.
Yeah, I saw Wayne Shorter, who's like 76 or 77 years old, a little while ago, and he's still going strong.
Oh yeah, but he's not playing, like, you know, 90 shows a year like Prince does occasionally, used to do.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's what I'm saying. I expect him to keep playing and to, you know, forever until he keeps going. But I don't expect him to do, like, massive, extensive American tours. Like, he might do one more big American tour, like a musicology tour. He might do one more of them, I reckon.
Is he going to play the hits for the last time?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, I hope so. I'd love to hear them.
You got the album. You got the album. Play the album.
I'll just say this one thing I'd like him to do in the next 10 years is release some, and, you know, I don't just want, I'm not just talking about Montreux here, but I think it's time is ripe to release a really high quality concert footage DVD, regardless of any era, whichever era.
Way overdue.
Way,
2009.
Way overdue. Like, we walk in this, like, you know, you walk into a shop, and we've talked about this before, and you just...
It's embarrassing, almost.
It's sad. It is pretty sad. I mean, you know, you'd love to...
What was the last sort of, you know, full-length concert he released? It was Love Sexy 88. And, you know, that concert blows just about everything out of the water. And then you've got all these other ones that are like little 40-minute edits and Live at the Aladdin and Sacrifice of Victor and this kind of stuff. Like, it's good stuff.
Which is all edited and...
That's right,
yeah.
It's like...
But it's not high quality. It's not, you know, it's not 5.1 Dolby Digital or even on Blu-ray, like master audio. Can you imagine listening to Prince in, like, lossless sound? That'd be unbelievable, you know.
It's like, if there's one thing in his, you know, in terms of his releases that's sort of needs a void that's, you know, needs to be filled, that's it, I reckon.
Well, and I know you've probably got more to say, but I'll just quickly jump in and say that the thing about Prince is that he's been pioneering in so many ways. The one way that he really has not been a pioneer for a long time now is visually and with visual product. I mean, you see some of the DVDs and the DVD box sets and DVD packages that other artists are coming out with, and some of them are absolutely brilliant, magical even. You know, from the design of the artwork and the packaging to the extra features to the quality of the audio and the video. I mean, people are really pushing the boundaries of technology. And he you know, the last thing he put out was Live at the Aladdin.
Mm.
It's just disappointing. from a fan's point of view. You know, it's not all about what, oh, we want this, we want that. We love the music. We love the concerts, and we'd love to be able to sit at home and put something on. But, you know, maybe I've just actually hit the nail on the head there. Maybe it's intentional. You know, maybe he's not releasing it because he thinks, oh, people won't come to the shows, or, you know,
That's garbage.
That doesn't make sense, because then why would you release live at the Aladdin, you know? It doesn't make sense. People will come to the shows
regardless,
more and more often.
Yeah.
Nothing beats the live experience, but, you know... Anyway, that was my little rant. Sorry, Tojo.
Well, I don't want to keep going on about this, but I think part of it might be he likes the element of surprise, and, you know, he hasn't done many live albums as well. And I think that's... He likes the element of surprising people in live concerts. So maybe he feels if he puts out all these live albums and stuff that element will be gone, kind of thing. Who knows?
Yeah.
I read something on the Org. I think it was on the Org. And I don't know if there's any truth.
It's got to be true.
Oh, it's on the Org. It must be true. But it said... I mean, it could have just been a stupid comment, but when I thought about it, it could have some truth in it. Someone asked a similar question to why doesn't he put out some DVDs or something, and someone said because he doesn't want to give Warners any money, because every track, old track that he plays is owned by Warners. He's got to pay Warners for each track that's on the DVD. Is there any truth in that? I mean, he could do a DVD of all new tracks and he'd own it because he owns all the new stuff, but
he would get composer royalties though, so maybe it's not that he has to pay them, it's just that he wouldn't be getting as much.
Because, yeah, I thought about that, and I thought, well, yeah, maybe he still hates Warners. He doesn't want to give him 1 cent, so he's not going to put a DVD of any old material, any old tracks out.
No, because I might be wrong, but he's still... He's the copyright of the composition, not... Warner Brothers owns the master recordings, but he still owns the actual compositions of them. So he can re-record them in live concert and release them that way.
Yeah.
You know, I may be wrong, I'm not an expert. But that's
they might not get any money. Like I said, it might just be a comment with no meaning, but then I started to think maybe it is. I don't know.
It's hard to say. But see, the great thing about...
It seems he's gotten over his Warner Brothers...
Hang-ups
and forgiven them, so maybe there's nothing in that. I don't know.
Just on this whole DVD talk, I mean, I know that some people have coming with the opinion that maybe... he doesn't want to release like the Musicology tour or Live in London because, you know, on those tours he played a lot of his best known material, and because he plays that often enough and repeats, you know, that in a live setting, it might lose some of its magic. But I think maybe that's one of the reasons why a Live in Montreux DVD release would be great, because of the amount of rare material that he played. And you know, if you didn't see When the Lights Go Down at Montreux, or She Spoke to Me, or, you know, any number, or When I Lay My Hands on You, you probably won't hear that stuff very often ever again. And that gets me thinking. Some of the, like, Live at Aladdin stuff, you know, the duet with Push and Pull with Nick Acosta and some of the other stuff, you know, it's kind of... it's a bit more rare. I don't know. I don't know if there's any...
Well, maybe that's why we only got about 80 minutes instead of the full 3 hours... of that Las Vegas show.
Maybe,
40 minutes of the show.
Yeah, it's not long, is it? It's not long at all.
Well, if I got 3 hours of the way that was filmed, I wouldn't want 3 hours of it either.
5 minutes was enough.
Yeah. It's just... It is... you know, it's very frustrating putting on Live at the Aladdin. I can't remember the last time I've watched that anyway, but it's frustrating to think about having to put on Live at the Aladdin onto DVD, listening to it in stereo, and, you know, the picture quality isn't particularly good. And then, you know, I'll throw in something like Dave Matthews Band live at Central Park, and it just blows my system out of the water. Or I'll put Jeff Beck, you know, live performing at Ronnie Scott's, or I'll put Queen live in Wembley on, or, you know, Pink Floyd, their 94 con, just, or something, you know. And this is like older material that just sounds and looks amazing, and it's preserved forever, and it's just frustrating.
I can say I've never watched the full Aladdin DVD. I think I've watched 10 minutes of it, and that was enough. As horribly bad as that was filmed, wasn't it like Beastie Boys released a whole concert DVD which was filmed by audience people?
Yeah.
And everyone said that was excellent. Has anyone? Have you? Any of you seen it?
I haven't seen it. No.
Bits and pieces of it.
But every review I saw of it said it was great.
But I think it's more the concept that they think is great.
Yeah.
Not so much the actual footage itself.
Yeah, I would kind of expect that from Beastie Boys, though.
Yeah.
If I was going to get I kind of expect it to look like that. But with someone like Prince and his caliber and perfectionism, I'd expect the quality to be better. I don't know.
Mm.
Yeah, it is frustrating.
All the people who said that Beastie Boys DVD was great, we should send them Aladdin and see if they still think that concept's great.
And the thing about all this DVD discussion as well, I know we're going around in circles a little bit, but so many times I'll feel like I'll be at home and I'll want to watch some live music, you know, like during the week or whatever, and I want to put on a concert or some music, a music DVD, and I'd love to put on a Prince DVD, but you know what are the options? Exactly. So I'll
don't
put
you
on.
Still have your laser disc of Love Sexy?
No. So I'll put on Weather Report live in Montreux, or I'll put on the new Stevie Wonder release, or I'll put on some of Zappa's stuff, or because you know all the other ones I mentioned, and I'm sure you guys do the same. You know, we all watch music DVDs. And it's just a shame that, you know, your favorite artist doesn't have anything out, really. I mean, yeah. Aladdin isn't it, man.
You know what? If Prince wants to be the people uploading all these other things of live footage on YouTube, that's the way to do it. Release the DVDs. I'm not saying to release all the DVDs, but, you know, it'll... You know, because that's where everyone's going now, is they're going to YouTube, they're looking up Prince, watching live performances.
Type in Prince into YouTube, the first thing that comes out is that the one with Michael Jackson and James Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, that's kind of embarrassing, to be honest. They're like, surely you don't want that as the first thing that, you know, you imagine all those teenagers out there that just have a vague knowledge of Prince. They type in Prince into YouTube and that's what they get.
That's what they see.
Well, the other thing is that teenagers and people that aren't fans, even older folk, if they walk into a shop, they can buy the music.
Yeah.
They can't buy anything else. They go into the music DVD section, they'll buy all the other artists. They won't buy anything by Prince. And if they buy Aladdin, they might even be dissuaded from looking into his catalogue further because they're like, what is this? This looks like some sort
of bootleg. Might see the cover of Rave and say, I'm not buying that.
Yeah.
But MC, you just said Aladdin doesn't cut it. And that just reminded me of the alleged reason that he cancelled the Black Album was he didn't want that anger-filled thing to be the last thing that he left on this earth. So he wants to leave the earth with Aladdin as the last DVD he left. That's not a...
It's,
think about that, Prince.
It doesn't make much sense.
You want to leave a decent DVD.
It doesn't make much sense. But anyway, let's get on to what else we think. Just answering the question, obviously, that by Richard L., anyone else got any kind of ideas of the next 5 or 10 years? And again, remember, we're answering a fan's question or what you'd like to see.
I think Toe Jam hit it, though. It's going to be less touring and less frequency of albums. It's not going to be every year like it used to be.
Yeah, winding down a little bit.
Hmm.
Slowing down, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I sincerely want the next 5 or 10 years for him to do what he wants to do. And, you know, I know some other fans might have a lot to say about what I'm about to say, but personally, if Prince took a few years off from recording, from touring, and just lived his life, that's fine as well. You know, live a little, regenerate, recoup, be inspired by the world again, and then put that into your art. You know, that's living, that's being an artist as well. I mean, you don't have to constantly churn out material and you know, record every note and then send it out to the masses. I mean, you know, you can saturate the market that way and you know, there's no right or wrong, but it's just a thought. So, you know, if he didn't do anything for the next five years and then came back with an album, that would be cool.
You'd expect it to be a damn good album, though.
The wait, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
After 5 years,
well,
you'd
know
think
what?
This better be the best thing he's ever done. Making us wait for 5 years? But see, Dan, he couldn't do that because the pressure would kill anyone.
Yeah.
if you put out an album or two every year for like 30 years and then you have 5 years off, you better come back with a damn good album.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Imagine the pressure of that would just, that'd kill anyone.
But I'm just thinking now, imagine that post 2003, he had 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, and 2008 off, and took the best songs off Musicology, 31, 21, Planet Earth, and Lotus Flower, MPLS Sound, and made 1 to 12 track album out of that. I reckon that would be, that could be, one of the greatest Prince albums ever.
It'd be a statement, sure.
It would be, yeah, it would be like...
But again, it's like, you know, everyone's going to have different opinions on what those 10, 12 tracks should be. So.
Sure, sure, but can you imagine?
And like, we know which ones he would choose as well. That wouldn't be the ones that you would expect.
Because, yeah,
be all the Midnights and Resolution.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I don't know. And I mean, the world's running a bit dry. I guess we don't have too much to say about what we expect over the next 5 or 10 years.
Even if that's true, even if, you know, he could be running out of ideas, there's a vault in Paisley Park, which I hear is full of good ideas. Or not so good ideas, according to some people.
Yeah,
I mean,
you never know.
I could live with everything if he never released a new album again.
Sure.
And just released stuff from the vault. I would be happy with that. Regardless of the quality of the stuff in the vault, I still think the crappest track he made in 1985 is pretty good to a few tracks I've heard from him the last few years.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
I actually think, I've just had this thought, again, answering our listener's question, I would love Prince, it would just be very interesting to hear him do something that he's never done before, and what I mean by that is go purely instrumental and really kind of just go in a completely different direction. Maybe even like ambient, maybe classical orchestral works, maybe just instrumental jazz, who knows. But I think really if you could just come up with one thing that would really, that you think would be amazing, I just go back to our Sydney Opera House review. I was listening to The Love We Make earlier today, and oh wow, imagine The Love We Make with like a 30 something piece orchestra. Wow.
here we go again.
This is Sydney Opera House review part 2.
Oh, what about this track? Oh.
Get The Love We Make. Oh, God. That's just crazy. Such a good song. Such a good song, and it would just be brilliant. It would be so cool.
Talking about instrumentals and talking about Montreux, I've got a DVD in my hand. It's Live at Montreux, 1981, Mike Oldfield. It is a damn good DVD.
Now it's from 1981.
Yeah. Go and buy it. That's bloody good.
You want a damn
Prince
good...
I want Prince to watch that and get inspired and go and make some instrumental music. And it's not News, I'll tell you that.
News is a great album. News is a very solid album. But anyway. What else? Anyone else got Toe Jam Player? You guys, next 5, 10 years, anything player that you haven't come up with?
I think at the start of the last decade, I had ideas of
a lot more
what I'd like to see him to do, and nothing really that materialized. So,
yeah,
I'm not really having any expectations, because when it doesn't happen, then you sort of feel a little bit let down. So, you know, I just accept what comes out now and just take it for what it is.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think at deep down, I'm quite similar to that. We all might be, but it's just speaking for myself. I agree with you there. I'm grateful for the new material, and in fact, thinking about Lotus Flower, the album, I mean, I still can't get over what a that was an explosion in March 2009. God, that really rocked my world, that album.
Explosive is your word of the day.
But it really, and it's still to this day, I can put on Lotus Flower, and to me, it's as solid as The Gold Experience, as Love Sexy, as Purple Rain. It is just... It's a great album.
It's a great album, exactly.
It's that great album that I was really hoping he had another one, you know, left in him, and I'm sure he's got more. But yeah, Lotus Flower, I just I know we're not talking about it necessarily, but you know, brilliant. It's just a brilliant work. Brilliant work. Have we mentioned the Montreux DVD?
And the Sydney and coffee table.
And Prince playing with a full symphony orchestra. Have we talked about that?
You're pushing your luck now.
Can you imagine Purple and Mold? Oh!
Imagine that at the Opera House.
Cause and effect with real strings. Wow. That'd
be my toilet break.
I wouldn't mind hearing Prince get involved with some kind of hardcore jazz cats. That are still around. That'd be pretty cool. Just you know, playing off each other, maybe jamming, maybe coming up with some new material. That'd be cool. Be interesting. But yeah, whatever comes next, we'll be here. We'll be listening. We'll be waiting. Yeah, yeah.
Did we talk about Chris Coleman?
Yeah, we did. That.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, player.
I was going to say, but thank you for the question. If anyone else has questions, please submit them.
Yep.
And we'll answer them for you.
We'll do our best to answer them.
Send them to funkytempleradio@gmail.com.
Cheaper than a phone call.
Oh.
Yes, I
or
am.
Or you can upload your question too, and we'll play it.
Oh, yeah.
Onto the forums.
We actually do have one audio question, which we'll put in the next one.
Okay.
And don't forget Peach and Black forums, peachandblack.proboards.com. Join up there and see all the secret things that don't get onto the show.
Yep. So,
outtakes.
If you guys haven't got anything else,
come and get it.
Oh man, what's that funky beat in the background? I'm loving that. Check out the bass player. Who's that on the bass?
That sounds like Tal Wilkenfeld.
Well, I wouldn't mind hearing Tal Wilkenfeld play Shoot the Duck. Oh, yeah.
She can shoot my duck anytime.
Sounds all right. Oh, okay. That's about all from the Peach and Black podcast.
We might be back next time.
Come over here. Come over here, duck. Come over here. I wanna teach you a lesson. Come over here, duck. Come over here, I say. Come over here, duck. Can't you see my big gun? Come over here, duck. I say, come over here. Come over here, duck. I wanna teach you a lesson. Come over here, duck. Come over here, I say. Come over here. Duck.
Duck.